At the beginning of your worship guide, it gives you an introduction to what we're doing this year, what the Bible really says about. And every page, there's a page for every Sunday of the year. So a couple of weeks ago, we began with what's in the Bible, how it came to be, and how to read and know it. And now we begin a little series on what the Bible really says, 2 weeks on what's in a sacrament. We have two sacraments in our tradition, baptism and Holy Communion. And today we're talking about why baptism. We're going to hear a passage from Matthew chapter 3 that has two parts. First, we're going to hear some words from John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, who's out in the wilderness living and baptizing people. We hear him say that he's doing one kind of baptism, but when Jesus comes, that baptism will change. I'm going to talk about that in a few minutes. Then Jesus comes along, and he asks John to baptize him, which John at first resists and then does it. Listen for what happens when Jesus comes up out of the water, because this affects our understanding of Christian baptism. There are two key reasons for why baptism, Jesus' baptism and ours, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. We begin with these words from John the Baptist in Matthew 3.
The first reading today can be found in Matthew chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. The word of God for the people of God.
And now these words from the Gospel of Matthew, in the third chapter, starting at verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized to you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered, let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth, O God, and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. This day we pray for you. You indeed are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So what's in a sacrament and why baptism? Well, water. 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 You need water to live, don't you? Need water? You need water in order to live? We need water to live. We can't live without it. Yet it's pretty ordinary, isn't it? Water. And extraordinary, think about it. Just ordinary, everyday water. But without it, we die. How about words? Words. Like what I'm sharing with you now. It's hard to communicate without them. Sometimes we do. But words are ordinary and extraordinary. Think about it. Just ordinary, everyday words. We say them every day, don't we? Pretty much. Pretty much. Without them, we may not die, but life would be a lot harder without words. Some kind of words, right? And how about ourselves? Us, God's beloved ones. Those are the parts of a sacrament that we bring. Something ordinary, like water. Or in communion, bread and wine or juice. We bring water. We bring words. Here we are, God. And we bring ourselves. We come before God, opening ourselves to what God will do. Those are the components of sacrament. We bring our ordinary water. We bring our words and ourselves, and we place them before God, and God makes them extraordinary. New and beloved, touched by God's Spirit. Now you are mine, God says in baptism. That is sacrament. That is baptism. I could stop right there, but that would be kind of a short sermon, wouldn't it? So let's take a moment and remember baptism. Now, I don't remember my baptism because I was only a few weeks old when the water and the words were sprinkled on me. But you know what? Something in me remembers, in my spirit, because once baptized, that is carved on our hearts and cannot be taken away. That experience of being claimed by God's Spirit, you are mine, beloved. Let's remember baptism for a moment. Maybe your own, or one you've been part of or you've seen, with water and words and us, ordinary stuff, and God's Spirit is poured out always, every time. You are mine. I think about my children's baptisms. Our daughter is our older child, and she wore the family baptism dress. Our son was baptized when he was about 4.5 pounds. He was a little preemie. So I had to make a little blue outfit for him. And I remember the pastor holding him almost in one arm and saying over him, "I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." And David was his. David was God's. I think about other baptisms here. I think about baptism of Holly. That's a guy. That was part of his last name. In another church I served, he was 92 years old. He'd never been baptized. And he came and he said, "I want to be baptized." And he stood before the congregation and we poured water on him. And the Holy Spirit came in the midst of water and words and him and claimed him, "You are mine." I think about all the baptisms that I've had the privilege of being part of. Most recently, the little grandson of Harold and Susan Putt, Heath, at Soul Station just about a month ago, and Heath couldn't resist having his hands in the water. He's about 9 months old, and I went to baptize him, and he leaned over, and he splashed in the water. Water and words and us in baptism. You are mine. You are mine, God says, touched by God's Spirit. From where does baptism come? Well, there were many ancient Jewish rituals involving water. John the Baptist and Jesus are both Jews. They knew these rituals. Now, in the Jewish tradition, the word baptism is not used, but there are these purification rites in Jewish laws and traditions where people had to go down into, it's called a mikvah. You go down steps into a special ritual pool collected with rainwater, and you most of the time are immersed and go down into the water and come back out again, cleansed and made new. And did you know that if a person converts to Judaism from another tradition, even today, part of the ritual is going down into the water, being immersed in water, and coming out again a new being, a new convert, a physical act that people perform in order to symbolize a change of heart, a total commitment. Now, in the Jewish tradition, this going into the mikvah or being immersed can be done again and again for a variety of reasons. Sometimes after a woman has a baby, or in ancient tradition, if someone had touched a dead person, they needed to be cleansed, go down into the water and be cleansed and come back out a new being. In Christian baptism, we only do it once. This description of conversion to Judaism by immersion in the water is about the same as one of the meanings of Christian baptism. We leave behind one life, one way of being, and we take on another one. It's true for babies. I tell parents this when I meet with them. First, your baby isn't baptized, and then we sprinkle them or we pour water on them, and then they're baptized. They are made new and different. It's true for older children as well. They're not baptized. They say they want to follow Jesus. In the baptism ritual, they're made new and different. And oh my goodness, for adults. When an adult is baptized, they leave behind an unbaptized life and they take on the Christian life. This is one important meaning of baptism, with biblical roots, leaving something behind and becoming new, a new being, baptized. You are mine, says God. You are forgiven, which means washed away to begin again. Beginning something new was true at Jesus' baptism. He had come to earth. He had grown up a good Jewish boy, but he was beginning something new, a life of ministry, a difficult life of teaching and healing and showing God's way. He goes down into the water. This is a slide of the Jordan River from when we were there. He goes down into the Jordan, just like he'd probably done before, into a mikvah. He goes down into the water. And there are words, and there are himself, and God speaks new words. This is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. Jesus is different when he comes out. He's made for a new purpose, to bring God's love into the world by his life. One meaning of baptism with these biblical roots is that in baptism we become a new being. First we are not baptized, and then we are. God's Spirit poured out, claiming us, you are mine. Go down into the water, at least have it sprinkled on you. You are mine, water, words, and us. There is a second and very important meaning of Christian baptism. You know, John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, was giving people the chance to go into the water and come out new, having their sins forgiven. With Jesus, something else happens that then becomes a key part of Christian baptism. As Jesus is coming out of the ordinary water of the Jordan River, God's words are poured out. You are my beloved son. With you I'm well pleased. In Christian baptism, we become part of something greater than ourselves. We belong. We belong. We belong to God, and we belong to the Christian community. We belong to the church. We belong to one another. That's what happens. One of the things that happens in baptism is that we belong to each other and to God. That is why baptism becomes so critical, so important in the early church. People became part of Jesus' life and work, part of the Christian community, part of God's love in the world. They belonged. This is reflected in the hymn that we sing here at baptism. Child of blessing, child of promise, baptized with the Spirit's sign. With this water, God has sealed you unto love and grace divine. With this water, God has sealed you unto love and grace divine. In baptism, in Jesus' name, we belong. You are my beloved one. You are mine, says God. Were we God's before baptism? Well, of course. But with water and words and us, our commitment, we are named and claimed in a new way for belonging, for a purpose, which I'm going to talk about in a minute. This is why in the early Christian communities, actually for several hundred years, entire households were baptized. I used to think this was ridiculous. Why were the whole households baptized? But now I think this was a way of belonging, a sign of being part of something greater than themselves, than ourselves. And then I wonder, why would you keep yourself or your child from that? Belonging. Think about it. Be longing. Longing to be. Long. To be part of something. Longing to belong is so basic. We belong in our mother's womb. We belong to a family or a group of friends, especially if our family is too fractured to belong well. We belong here with God's people. In human belongings, we don't always do everything well. You know that, don't you? We don't always do everything well. Sometimes we fail each other because we are ordinary, frail, sinful people. We fail in our belonging, but you know what? We always belong to God. We are God's now and forever. Our baptism, then, commits us to seeking to do our best in belonging, in our commitments to our children, to ourselves, and to God. This is why when someone is baptized, we all participate. It's like all having our hands in the water. The ripples create waves as each of us says, yes, we will uphold and strengthen this person, this family, as they come to belong. We seek to do our best in belonging. And then it is out of our baptism that we serve God in the world. We are new beings by our baptism. We belong and we long for you to belong too. We seek to offer God's love in the world. This is actually why we're seeking to do the second sight. Because there are people who need to belong. People who don't have a connection to a church or to Jesus or to the love of God. And it is part of our work out of our baptism to reach to people, to help them be gathered to belong. We long for you to belong, we say. We seek to offer God's love in the world because we have been given it in our baptism. You are my beloved ones. I long for others to belong too. I want to invite you into a time of prayer as I finish this meditation. Put your palms up in front of you. Open hands to God. Palms up and open. Picture water flowing through your hands, down through your fingers. Perhaps Jordan River water. And give thanksgiving for baptism, for being made new, for having that chance day after day to remember that God has made us God's own. Give thanksgiving for belonging. For belonging to the Christian community. And for belonging, most of all, to God. And as the water flows through our fingers onto our palms, down into our laps, it flows out into the world. And so we recommit to serving out of our baptism, helping others know Jesus' love and belonging. Child of blessing, child of promise, baptized with the Spirit's sign. With this water, God has sealed you unto love and grace divine. Amen.